Welcome to the Covenant of Peace radio broadcast, the teaching ministry of Pastor Blair Bradley. This program is dedicated to bringing you the glorious truth of God's Word, one verse at a time.
A mighty fortress is our God.
We are living in powerful days, and we are seeing tremendous changes in our lives, our culture, our nation, and in the church. So now more than ever, we have a great need to exercise spiritual discernment and to know what the Bible teaches about the important issues that we all face today. So let's join Pastor Blair as he continues our study on the Word of God.
Welcome again, my beloved in Jesus Christ. We're continuing our verse-by-verse journey through the Epistle of 1 John, and today I want to continue to look at what John taught about the test of truth. So let's turn in our Bibles and let's read 1 John chapter 2, verses 18 through 27 again together. Children, it is the last hour, and just as you heard that Antichrist is coming, even now many Antichrists have appeared. From this we know that it is the last hour. They went out from us, but they were not really of us. For if they had been of us, they would have remained with us. But they went out so that it would be shown that they are all not of us. But you have an anointing from the Holy One, and you all know. I have not written unto you because you do not know the truth, but because you do know it, and because no lie is of the truth. Who is the liar but the one who denies that Jesus is the Christ? This is the Antichrist, the one who denies the Father and the Son. Whoever denies the Son does not have the Father. The one who confesses the Son has the Father also. As for you, let that abide in you which you heard from the beginning. If what you heard from the beginning abides in you, you also will abide in the Son and in the Father. This is the promise which he himself made to us, eternal life. These things I have written to you concerning those who were trying to deceive you. As for you, the anointing which you receive from him abides in you, and you have no need for anyone to teach you. But as his anointing teaches you about all things and is true and is not a lie, and just as it has taught you, you abide in him. Now, on the last broadcast, we were going over the 3 points that John is making in these 10 verses. Number 1, realizing the danger. Number 2, the ability and the power that is given to us so that we may realize the danger. And number 3, the way to fight against the danger. Now, in the last broadcast, we were looking at the second point that John was making in these 10 verses, and today I want to look at the third point, the way to fight against the danger. So let's look at verses 24, 25, and 26 again together. As for you, let that abide in you which you heard from the beginning. If what you heard from the beginning abides in you, you will also abide in the Son and in the Father. This is the promise which he himself made to us, eternal life. These things I have written to you concerning those who were trying to deceive you. Now, John says here that the way to fight against heresy, the way to combat false teaching, the way to stop the antichrists is for believers to let that abide in you which you heard from the beginning. Now, John is referring here to the gospel that was taught and preached first by our Lord and then by the apostles. John is saying here that if we allow God's word to dwell in us, to abide within us, to do its work in and through us, we will have a very effective tool against all lies. So there must be a way, some method, some plan, purposeful system that we as individual believers have and that the church as a whole has to get the gospel, the word of God, off the pages of the Bible and into our hearts, minds, and lives. The Word of God began to be written down by Moses several thousand years before the birth of Jesus Christ. Before that time, God's Word was supernaturally preserved and kept intact until it could be committed to the scrolls. With the onset of the Levitical priesthood, a section of the priesthood, the scribes, dedicated their lives to copying and recopying the Word of God so that future generations could have reliable and trustworthy copies. From the very beginning, God expected his people to know what he had said. It was expected of all men to know and understand and be held accountable to what God had given the fathers by way of inspiration. No one was exempt from the duty, the obligation, and the joy to know Scripture. When Jesus walked the earth, our Lord operated under the assumption that everybody, especially the leaders of the visible church back then, knew what God had said in Scripture. Jesus never gave anyone an out for not having the time or just not ever getting around to reading and studying the words that came from the mouth of God. And listen, my Christian friends, this is the point of what John is talking about here. When we speak of the Bible, when we mention Scripture, we are talking about the most important and unique special words that man has ever had access to. If you believe the claim that the Bible makes about itself, the Bible makes the fantastic claim that it alone is the inspired, inerrant, infallible, authoritative, relevant, and eternal Word of the living God. Look what Paul wrote about this in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. All Scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work. So Paul is saying here the very same thing that John is saying, that because the Bible is the Word of God, that when people read it and study it and understand it, and when they begin to believe it, love it, and apply it to their lives, they become strong. They become able to withstand lies. They are able to stand up against falsehoods and deceptions, and they are equipped to do all the good works of God. For example, it is from the knowledge of Scripture that we understand the character and nature of God. God chose to reveal Himself to man in two ways, through the pages of inspired Scripture and through His own creation. We can get general or basic information about God by looking at a waterfall or a sunset or a deer or by looking into a baby's eyes. We can see that God is big, strong, powerful. We can see that God is good and that He is worthy of worship simply by looking at what He created. But if we are to understand specific things about God, we must look to what God revealed about Himself in Scripture. A waterfall cannot ever tell you that God chose His elect before the foundation of the world. A sunset can tell you a lot of things about God, but it cannot tell you that God hates sin or even what sin is. We cannot get this kind of specific information about God by examining creation. Neither can we fashion our own ideas about God by using human logic or human values. In order to get this specific information about God, we must turn to what God says about Himself in the pages of Scripture. The same thing is true about the person of Jesus Christ. Everything that God wanted us to know about Jesus, He revealed to men to write down in inspired words that are contained in the 66 books of the Holy Bible. And so when we speak about Jesus and when we fashion our concepts and ideas about who He was and how He operated and what He thought about certain subjects, we must fashion those concepts based upon what Scripture declares. Everything else is suspect. And the same thing is true about the gospel of grace. Whatever you believe about how a man is saved or how God converts the human soul must come from the Scripture without adding anything to it or taking anything away, because whatever you add or whatever you take away changes it. Now, the reason that I mention these three aspects, the character and nature of God, the person of Jesus Christ, and the gospel, is because this is where all heresy attacks. All false teaching deals with one or more of these three issues, because when you stop and think about it, these three issues are everything. If we have a wrong or untrue concept of the character and nature of God, or if we do not understand who Jesus was and is, or if we do not understand how to be saved, what else matters? Let me tell you how important all of this is. Read with me 1 John chapter 2, verses 22 and 23. who is the liar but the one who denies that Jesus is the Christ? This is the Antichrist, the one who denies the Father and the Son. Whoever denies the Son does not have the Father. The one who confesses the Son has the Father also. Now John says here in verse 22 that anyone who denies that Jesus of Nazareth is the Christ is a liar and an antichrist. Now that is a powerful statement from this apostle. This is the same thing as saying that these people are evil, that they're unsaved, that they're fighting against Jesus. Now look closely at the word denies. This word has the connotation of belief or of rejection of belief. In other words, John is saying here that if anyone rejects the concept that this man who was born of Mary, who grew up in Nazareth, and was in fact the Messiah, if anyone rejects the concept that this man was the chosen and anointed one, that all the prophets said was coming and upon who the salvation of all men rests, if anyone rejects that concept, they are antichrist. So in order to believe that Jesus is the Christ, in order to believe that Jesus is that man, that requires a lot of understanding about a lot of things. For you to believe this, you have to understand just what the concept of a Jewish Messiah and the Christ was all about. You also have to comprehend something about Jesus' life, ministry, death, resurrection, and ascension. You also have to have some working knowledge of what the Old Testament prophets spoke about before you could in truth say that you believe that Jesus is the Christ. So where do you go to find the answers to those questions? The Scriptures. John says in verse 23 that if you deny or reject Jesus, once again this word has the connotation about what you believe. So what John is saying here that is if you reject anything that the Bible reveals about Jesus, you have also rejected God. But if you acknowledge or accept or believe what the Bible says about Jesus, then John says you have the Father also. Now, why is that? Because Jesus is God. But how could that be? I mean, Jesus was born. God is not born. Jesus grew. God didn't grow. Jesus wept. God didn't weep. Jesus got hungry. He was taken. He was beaten. He died. How does any human do that to God? How do you kill God? How does God die? Well, this is why we need to know what the Bible reveals about God and Jesus in Scripture. And we need all that the Bible says about Jesus, not just part. You see, if you know about Jesus, or if all that you read about Jesus are those verses which speak about the humanity of Jesus, then you're going to get an understanding of Jesus that is true, but that is incomplete, and therefore it's wrong. This is the mistake that heretics have made all throughout the centuries, as they fully accept his humanity but deny his deity. Conversely, if all that you know about Jesus are those verses which deal only with his deity, and you do not command that Jesus was fully man, then your understanding about Jesus is true, but it's still incomplete and therefore wrong. And heretics have done this as well. So John is teaching us here that we need to know what the Scriptures say, and then form our opinions and our ideas and our concepts about these very difficult, profound, and deep issues on what the Scriptures say, rather than using our own human wisdom to develop what we believe. Well, I'm going to have to stop right here, but please join me again on the next broadcast as we continue our journey through the epistle of 1 John. May God help us all.
Dear friends, if this radio broadcast of line upon line, precept upon precept teaching of God's holy word is a blessing to you, will you prayerfully consider supporting us financially? We want to increase our exposure here on the Gulf Coast through more radio stations and through the internet. Would you pray about coming alongside of us and help us do that to God's glory? For further information about how you can partner with us in seeing the gospel triumph in our area, or to receive a copy of today's broadcast, go to our website, www.covenantofpeace.net. Until next time, May the peace of God keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus.